Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Did you know that parents rank financial literacy as the number one most difficult life skill to teach? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app for families. With Greenlight, you send instant money transfers, set up chores, automate allowance, and keep an eye on your kids' spending. With real-time notifications, kids learn to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest. And parents can rest easy knowing their kids are learning about money with guardrails in place. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey.
First and foremost, Bull Morgan, what are the matchups you are looking out for?
Well, you know, this has been tough for me because I feel like every week I can say they're top receiver versus AJ Terrell.
Oh, most definitely.
And I don't want to go there. I want to go a little bit more of a group matchup.
Okay.
And honestly, it's the trenches that I'm looking at. It's and it's two-sided on the trenches, both sides of both teams.
It's important.
It's the run offenses versus the run defenses in this game. Because, you know, you look at it, Atlanta comes in with the fifth best rushing attack in the NFL. They're averaging 156 yards a game. And that being said, you look on the other side, this Cleveland defense is seventh in the league against the rush. They're only giving up 83 yards a game. They're pretty good. But the problem is you look on the other side of the ball, and Cleveland's offense is the creme de la creme in the NFL right now in rushing offense.
Yeah, they're probably one of the best offensive lines in the NFL, top three.
You can get after them in the passing game, but they also have probably the best running back, all right? I mean, let's be honest.
Nick Chubb's doing a good job,
but Nick Chubb is a very good runner as well. And then this Falcons run defense hasn't been quite as good. They're giving up almost 5 yards a carry, and they're 15th in the league with 109 a game.
Yeah.
So which team can shut down the other team's strength, which is the run game? The reason this is a big deal, and this will be one of my keys to the game as well, but reason this is a big deal for the Falcons defense is because the way this offense runs for Cleveland, they've got Jacoby Brissett, and much like Seattle last week, and in three games, Brissett's not even thrown for 600 yards. He's completing a good clip, around 66%, but to the point of it, he's not pushing the ball downfield a ton. You know, Amari Cooper's their leading receiver. He's got 19 for catches for 219 yards. And they're not really pushing the ball because they don't have to, because they're in second and short, third and short situations when they are in those situations, because they are getting big clips on first down. I mean, this team is averaging 5 yards a carry, like I said. So obviously that tells you they're not in long and down in long distances. So the trench work, the line of scrimmage is going to be huge in this game. So it's the Falcons O-line versus the Browns D-line's a matchup, and vice versa. It's just going to be important what happens up front, because that's where these teams are based off of. They're winning and losing games up front.
Yeah, because that's where each team starts. You know, the Falcons have now built themselves an identity that they're going to be a power run first type of football team. They want to come up, hit you in the mouth, dictate the line of scrimmage on offense and on defense, and they've really been doing it on offense thus far, and they want to control the terms. They want to control possession, and the Cleveland Browns are literally the exact same way. Even before the season, we heard Arthur Smith say, you know, these two teams are very similar in, you know, their play style, their scheme, you know, just the way they approach football games and how they want to play the game of football. So, again, it's definitely going to be a battle in the trenches. However, Bo, I'm going to give you one that may surprise people as far as a matchup to look out for goes. Maybe not. Marcus Mariota versus Jacoby Brissett. I'm going to say this because we know both teams, like you just said, want to run the football, want to control the line of scrimmage. We get that. However, these teams cannot get one-dimensional. You know, you don't want either team to be one-dimensional as far as what if they can't run the ball and they have to throw the ball around the lot. Well, both of these quarterbacks, you know, when you think about gunslingers, neither one of these quarterbacks honestly come to your mind first. You think about Patrick Mahomes. You think about Justin Herbert. You think about Aaron Rodgers. You think about Matthew Stafford. You don't think about Marcus Mariota or Jacoby Brissett. And that's to say they're not good. They just have different skill sets. But if the run games struggle because both teams know both teams want to run over the ball, which quarterback is going to make more plays with their arm, their feet? Which quarterback is going to give the offense that other aspect of the game, that other attack? Which quarterback is going to be better passing the ball? Which quarterback is going to be more accurate? Which quarterback is going to make bigger throws on third down when you get in third down in obvious passing situations? The quarterbacks are going to play. They always play dividends, but I think especially in this game with two teams that really want to run the ball, defense, they got to stop that. And if they do, which quarterback is going to be better? I think that's a big key.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
No, it's great. It's absolutely, excuse me. That's a really good point. And for me with Marcus, it basically comes to those mistakes.
Yeah.
You know, those little mistakes that have just kind of crept in each game. I don't really, you know, it's hard for me to get on him badly about the LA game. The interception was forced, but it was he was trying to make a play.
Right.
You can say he missed Pitts. It's hard to say, you know, you really have to go see all 22 and see exactly where Pitts was when he was kind of moved out of the pocket trying to make a play. And but they've crept up in games like last week with Seattle. We talked about it with that zone read play, and then the fumble against the Saints in the red zone, and then the bobbled snap, which ended up costing you a first down in a crucial situation. So it's a good point. And Brissett is a guy that you do want to make him beat you because, you know, in his career, he's been okay. I mean, there's a reason why he's had chances to start places and ultimately finds himself as kind of a spot starter and backup. One more that I have that I've been thinking about, and a guy who's playing really well now. And, you know, Austin Hooper was in Cleveland for a while.
Yep.
And Njoku basically, David Njoku basically was like, no, I was here first and this is my job.
But boy, so, can I tell you really quickly that I'm sick because I have David Njoku on one of my fantasy teams. And on top of that, he's on one of my, is he on the fantasy team that I paid money to be in? He might have been on one of my money fantasy teams. But the point is, I left him on the bench. And let's just say the other tight end that I started did not do near as good as him. So I just had to put that little out there.
Well, Njoku, he's coming off a big game, like you said. Mm-hmm. And he has been a guy that Brissett's leaned on. See, this is the thing we got to remember. Guys like Brissett and Geno, they're in systems right now where they're playing it safe for the most part. And that's fine, but they're being allowed to play it safe. Mm-hmm. with Brissett's point with Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt, how they're running the ball, and he's got guys like Njoku and Amari Cooper are his number one targets. Last week with Geno, it was a thing where they were running a lot of routes just to run people open, and he was, and you were playing a little off in the coverage. I won't call it soft, Dean, but it was off. They were playing back. They were giving a cushion. They weren't playing up and up on them in press coverage. And what it led to was a lot of, you know, easy completions. And he ran up 300 almost 30 yards passing. You know, he ended up being Geno in the end. But
yep.
That being said, you know, it was a close game.
Mm-hmm.
But Njoku's a guy who's coming off a big game. You know, he's been obviously he's a target that Brissett locks onto. We know Amari's going to be there, but maybe it's a situation where one of these guys beats you. You let people, you make one of these guys beat you over the other, you know?
Yeah.
And honestly, to me, I'm more in a sellout for the run and let one of these, Brissett beat you with Njoku or Brissett. And within Njoku, it basically comes up to Michael Walker or maybe Troy Anderson in coverage and how they handle him. And that's to me a matchup, is how this linebacking core handles a guy like David Njoku, because this is the guy that's going to be a red zone target, and that's somewhere you got to improve. The Cleveland offense is, you know, almost middle of the pack. They're 13th in red zone offense, while the Falcons are 23rd in red zone defense, so they have the edge there. So, you know, that's a guy that you just can't allow to beat you when you get down there.
And let's take that a step further too. You talk about, you know, kind of leaving maybe Michael Walker or Rashawn Evans or, you know, guys like that, maybe not necessarily on an island is the best phrase to put it, but, you know, kind of leave them out hanging to where, you know, they have to cover David Njoku and guys like that without really any help, because you're going to sell out to the run. We can take that a step further and say that about the corners. You know, if you're going to put more, if you're going to allocate more resources and more guys to the box to try to take away that run game, well, then, you know, you're not going to have much help for A.J. Terrell or Casey Hayward. So that's to your point where you always talk about, you know, a matchup every week this season could be A.J. Terrell against Amari Cooper or the opposition's best receiver. And that's so true, especially in this game, because of how Cleveland wants to run the ball. You know, so there might be situations where A.J. Terrell is going to have to really, really step up and show he still is that corner from last year and just take on Amari Cooper with no help. You know, they might not do that, but that could be a case, again, if they want to allocate more resources to the box and really, really try to take away that run game. So that is a huge key.